Good morning, everyone. And welcome to Sunday worship. It's good to be together in the house of God to hear God's word. Afterwards, you're invited to have a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service. You have most of the intimations. Just want to highlight that Kelly McCrory's dance class begins again on Wednesday. And on Thursday, anyone wanting to pray together, the prayer group's now back at 10:30. And the badminton's now started. So each week, new things will be starting up again. The Baptist Church on Friday is having a music group, the New Scottish Hymns Band. And they're going to have a concert, but it's more a sing-along event. They'll be teaching new songs and leading folk in songs that we do know already. Tickets for the concert are £10, £8 concession. So that's this Friday in South Beach Baptist Church at 7:30. I noticed on the way in that Billy and Eleanor McMahon have been cutting the grass and Gordon's been polishing the big hall floor. So thanks to everybody who's been helping in different ways in the church, indoor and out. The workmen are now finished and they've left the car park with a new coating of chippings, a new fence, and they fixed the gate of the car park. That's all over and above the call of duty, because they weren't here to do the church work. They were here to fix sewers on the street. So let us worship God. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So let's sing to his praise and glory in hymn 139. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. It's the words of Psalm 121. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, we come before you with many insecurities. We sometimes feel ourselves overwhelmed by so much bad news on the television. All around the world there are wars, terrorism, shootings, stabbings, riots, disputes, flooding and fires, epidemics, crime and violence. We sometimes think that our leaders are just the blind leading the blind, and that they're deaf to the cries of the poor and needy. And we worry about the future with Brexit and political and economic turbulence. We watch church decline. We feel further insecurity in our society, with the National Health Service struggling to cope, high streets declining, people's behaviour getting worse, and we wrestle with the ageing process and our increasing frailties. So, Lord, we can feel like we're drowning sometimes, or walking on a tightrope, or wagons in a circle. We feel under fire. Sometimes we feel we're the last green bottle. We're isolated. And we live under a Damocles sword, or we feel that we're threatened by a dam about to burst over us, and we feel that we're living under a cloud. We know that these feelings are widespread, and they're nothing new. David has always faced Goliaths. Daniel has always had to face lions. The disciples have always been in storms. So, as always, we pray for your help. For you are our Saviour, and you are the one who can help us to walk on water. You calm our storms, or you give us the peace that we need even in the middle of our storms. You release us from every captivity to fears or phobias. You provide strength beyond our own strength. What a friend we have in you, Lord Jesus. You walk with us through the valleys of grief or pain or loneliness, temptation or tribulation. You even raise us from the dead. You put new life into old bones. You give us the wisdom of Solomon and the patience of Job, the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the energy and the irrepressibility of Paul and Silas. Merciful and gracious God, forgive us then for still being inhibited by insecurities, for not learning to trust you more, for not leaving our insecurities at your throne of grace, for doubting your promises. We thank you for your promise that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed whiter than snow. And you say to each of us what you said to the paralyzed man: your sins are forgiven. Rise and walk. Lord, release us from everything that paralyzes us, especially our insecurities. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the Sunday school should be back soon, officially, but I thought we'd just have a more informal chat today on the subject of insecurity. If I say the word insecurity, has anybody got a mental picture of what insecurity looks like? If you think insecure, what's insecure? Feeling alone. Can you put in your mind to a mental picture? I can think of a coat hanger in the corridor that's on a loose screw, shugley peg. Anybody?
Having a tremor.
Having a tremor, yeah. Collie wobbles.
Sore arms.
I'm sure everybody does feel insecure, and there's different ways you could sum it up. I think of it as a tightrope walker. Sometimes in life you're walking a thin tightrope and you can fall either side and get into trouble whichever way you go. Did you see on the news the Whaley Bridge Village's dam? The dam nearly burst and all the folk had to be evacuated. I had the experience myself the other day walking on the beach with Dougie, the dog. It was one of those mixed weather days which we've been having. I could see a dark cloud. And I was just chancing it and praying it wouldn't burst. Unfortunately, halfway along the beach, it did. A couple of spits and then, woof, full tropical storm. And by the time we got to the car, we're soaked. By the time we got home, it was dry. It had just been a localized cloud above our heads. Well, let me help with these mental pictures. Harry's kindly obliged here. That's the one. It takes a minute to work these pictures out, but when you see what you're seeing, there's two big cliffs with a big stone between, jammed in, and there's a guy upside down doing a handstand on top of the stone. Can we go slower, Harry? I need to explain it for those listening at home on this radio. So it's two big cliffs with a big boulder, and there's a guy was standing on the cliff in the middle of the stone, and now there's a guy doing a handstand on top of a pole. There's always somebody who likes to live on the edge, as they say. Right? And this is a big mountain range in China, and there's a plank halfway down a hillside of smooth rock, and these are some intrepid explorers walking the plank halfway up a mountainside for fun. And there are variations on that at the other side. And there's a single solitary person. It's not even the plank, it's just the bit of rock, a ledge of about a foot wide with a drop of about 1,000 feet. I don't know why people like insecurity, but some people love it. They do mountains for a hobby. What have we got next? Now, in the Bible, there are pictures of insecurity. Can you think of some Bible pictures of insecurity? If you look on your order of service, this is kind of the picture you've got. But you'll see on the front page, the title of the picture can be read as a pun. It either means insecurity or insecurity. There's a thin divide between the two. Peter in the water might be seen as a picture of insecurity because he's sinking. He gets over the edge of the boat, his legs go like in the films, and he's sinking. On the other hand, Jesus is holding him. So he's secure in the arms of Jesus, and he's able to then walk on the water. The people in the boat thought that Peter was daft getting overboard for Jesus, so they clung to the boat, even although they thought it was sinking. They thought we're all done for. So Peter going overboard looked on the surface as being daft. He left the security of the boat. But he might have said to his pals, what security have you got if you're on a sinking ship? I'd rather put my security in the hands of Jesus. So see that picture in a double-edged way, as security or insecurity. And there's a picture of Jack, who's safe in the arms of Jesus there, sound asleep. Can you think of other Bible pictures of security or insecurity? Who was on a shugly peg in the Bible? Well, what about Daniel in the lion's den? Well, shout it out. So Daniel in the lion's den is a metaphor, parable, picture for ourselves. We sometimes feel that we're in a lion's den and we're going to get eaten. On the other hand, he was in safe, secure hands. They didn't eat him. He got through the night. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the fiery furnace in the same way. Peter? Well, have we done Peter? You mean another story? The Israelites were running away from the Egyptians till they hit the Red Sea. And they had nowhere to go. It was water. The Egyptians coming behind. They were very insecure. But we know the story, how it ends, that God provided again. The whole Bible is a story of people in insecurities being rescued by God. We sometimes feel that we're David facing a Goliath of some kind. And yet we know the story is, you'd be better to back David to win this one. Jonah in the boat, the prodigal son, the lost sheep. There's lots of them. When you think of security, what's your mental picture of security? I was looking out some pictures. This is two koala bears. The baby one's on the back of the adult one, halfway up a tree. I was thinking of Dougie the Dachshund, upside down with his paws in the air, lying on a blanket. That's his comfort blanket. Harry, you've got some security pictures? Jack.
And I've also got one that I thought was very secure. And I know it's one of the best pictures I've ever done. Sorry to go back, but I don't normally do that. Right at the start. That one. You can't be more secure than that.
Well, it's the child hand in hand with Jesus. Playing with him, yes. So you can picture in your mind the child sucking its thumb for security, the security blanket, a baby in parents' arms, the wee kangaroo inside the mother kangaroo pouch. I was once on an aeroplane and next to me was a baby, and the baby was happy as anything. First ever flight, didn't know what was going to happen, where it was going, just knew that mum and dad were the other side. And so long as they were there, it was okay. Our ultimate security is in Jesus. Life is insecure. There's no getting away from it. We're all in shugly pegs. It's all dodgy. There are risks. But we can be safe in the arms of Jesus. One last thought on this, one story. A famous tightrope walker called Blondin, every Tuesday and Thursday, for many years, walked a tightrope from America to Canada across the Niagara Falls. He even had a rival who walked another tightrope, and they used to compete. One of his favorite tricks was he would take a wheelbarrow and have his assistant in the wheelbarrow and push them up and down the tightrope. One day, someone in the crowd annoyed Blondin so much that he stopped what he was doing, came off the tightrope, went up to the guy and said, "Do you believe I could put somebody in that wheelbarrow and take them up and down the tightrope?" "Oh yes, I've just seen you do it." "Well, you jump in and I'll give you a shot." Well, he discovered suddenly he had an appointment and he couldn't wait. It's one thing to believe that Blondin could do it. It's another thing to put your life on the line and trust your life to him to do it. It's one thing to believe that Jesus can look after the world and everybody else and even yourself. It's a whole leap more to put your life on the line and have to really trust Jesus and discover that he does help you along the line. Let's sing together hymn 760, "When We Walk With the Lord." And as the hymn unfolds, it tells you the secret of walking with the Lord. It's a matter of trust and obedience. 760.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Psalm 22. This is a classic picture of insecurity. My God, why have you abandoned me? I've cried desperately for help, but still it does not come. During the day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. I call at night, but get no rest. But you are enthroned as the Holy One, the one whom Israel praises. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted you, and you saved them. They called to you and escaped from danger. They trusted you and were not disappointed. But I am no longer a man. I'm a worm, despised and scorned by everyone. All who see me jeer at me. They stick out their tongues and shake their heads. You relied on the Lord, they say. Why doesn't he save you? If the Lord likes you, why doesn't he help you? It was you who brought me safely through birth, and when I was a baby, you kept me safe. I have relied on you since the day I was born. You've always been my God. Do not stay away from me. Trouble is near, and there's no one to help. Many enemies surround me like bulls. They're all around me, like fierce bulls from the land of Bashan. They open their mouths like lions, roaring and tearing at me. My strength is gone, gone like water spilt on the ground. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like melted wax. My throat is as dry as dust. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have left me for dead in the dust. A gang of evil men is round me. Like a pack of dogs, they close in on me. They tear at my hands and feet. All my bones can be seen. My enemies look at me and stare. They gamble for my clothes and divide them among themselves. O Lord, don't stay away from me. Come quickly to my rescue. Save me. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8. This is a picture of security. Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own Son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather was raised to life, and is at the right-hand side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the Scripture says, for your sake we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. And finally, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 25. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Courage," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then Peter spoke up. "Lord, if it is really you, order me to come out on the water to you." "Come," answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried. At once Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, "How little faith you have. Why did you doubt?" They both got into the boat and the wind died down. Then the disciples in the boat worshipped Jesus. "Truly, you are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing hymn 677, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." 677 in the Red Book. Insecurity. There's so much you could say on that subject, so I just thought I would pick 7 items of news from the last 7 days. You can picture in your mind's eye the Whaley Bridge Village's dam when it was in danger of bursting and drowning the whole village. Insecurity in America, when a week ago at this time there were 2 mass shootings. There have been 250 mass shootings in America this year. Nobody knows when the next one will happen and where it will happen. There's insecurity in Kashmir. India and Pakistan have fought over Kashmir for 70 years. It's always liable to flare up, and it's flared up again this week. Insecurity if you live in Hong Kong, where this is, I think, the 9th or the 10th week of protests. Insecurity nearer to home with Brexit. We don't know how it will land, but whichever way it goes, in the meantime, we're insecure. The international treaty controlling nuclear weapons has been torn up. We had a Cold War, it seemed to warm up a bit and be normal again. Now we're going back towards Cold War times. There's no treaty to constrain them, you see. And this week saw a teenager at the Tate Museum see a child of 6 years old that he'd never met in his life before, and just on the impulse decide to chuck him over the balcony from the 10th floor. No backstory, just he did it. There are random events like that where people do things for no apparent reason. What'll happen next? So you can see that we live in a world of insecurity. Our life is on a shuggly peg. We do have accidents. Bad things do happen. The earliest human beings were quite insecure too. They had less of the securities that we have. They didn't have central heating. The cave people went into caves to be secure from wild animals, thunders and lightnings. From all the things that threatened them, they went into their wee hidey holes. We all go into wee hidey holes like tortoises retreating into their shells. Even the ancient mighty Egyptians, at the height of their power, they had insecurities about what happens after this life. And to help them in the afterlife, they built very secure graves called pyramids and took their treasure possessions with them. People have always been insecure about the afterlife. In Roman times, the Roman Empire put a lot of trust in its chariots and its legions of soldiers. Brute force. Nothing new there then if China does it, or North Korea does it. In our own modern times ourselves, we're always looking for securities. We're worried financially. We're worried politically. We're worried about crime and violence. I don't need to list all the worries. You know what they are. We worry sometimes that it's even worse than it was. Or it's maybe worse than I even thought it was. That the whole framework is sort of rattling. Things that we took for granted can't be taken for granted. We look at church decline and wonder, it's been here for so long, it must last forever. But we just get a sneaking feeling it won't. The community spirit, there is a community spirit. And yet there are moments when you think, no, there isn't. And when you see the bad things that people do, and you never cease to be amazed at what they can come up with next. So people say things to me like, what's the world coming to? Do you think it's getting worse? Where's it all going to end? I'm glad I'm old. I wouldn't like to be young nowadays and starting from now. And so many layers of insecurity. In the First World War, they had a name for it, barbed wire sickness. You can imagine the soldiers in their trenches, in the mud, being fired at, and they were shell-shocked, and they wondered, when will it end? What happens next? And that world shrank down to their trench. Can I get through today? Can I survive? Will I be alive tonight? The limit of the barbed wire was the limit of their vision and their hope. People today have mental ill health like that. They get depressed, tired and weary. They shut the world off mentally because it's too hot to handle, too hard to bear. What everybody's craving is this deep sense of security. And I don't mean social security. But a deep feeling that the world underneath is all right. These are just little blips. Is the world all right? Or is the world fundamentally going to pot? Is there somebody in control at the helm of the ship, or are we just crashing? In the year 627, King Edwin, King of Northumbria, was listening to a missionary called Paulinus. He'd invited Paulinus to come over from Italy and speak to him and his people about Christianity. And at the end of Paulinus's speech, a wise old man got up at the banqueting hall and said to the king and all assembled, "If this Paulinus figure can tell us about life and life beyond this life," he says, "it's a bit like in our banqueting hall, there's an open space at the top, and sometimes a bird, a little sparrow, will come in to get a bit of heat from the cold winter. It flies about the roof and then it goes out again. Such is our lives. And if this Paulinus guy can tell us anything to shed light on the mystery of life and the mystery of life beyond this life, then we should listen to him very seriously." We have turned in our age to science to give us the answers to so much, to give us security in so many ways. And so we get through science, electric blankets to sleep at night. We get Valium, psychiatrists, medicines, stress reliefs, help with nervous breakdowns. Some countries are more worriers than others. In my own travels, I would suggest that the Jamaicans, don't worry, no problem. Well, they're up to their eyes in every problem you can think of. Whereas the British are always worried that we won't get into a problem and then we become paranoid. When Jesus said, "Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air," we are the disciple band he was talking to. We, like Jesus on the cross or the psalmist in Psalm 22, feel those words that we read earlier. "Why have you forsaken me? I am left to my own devices. They're all against me." Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. People turn, if not to science, they turn to escapes. Let's put on Channel 4 and switch off the news. Let's turn to comedies. Let's try alcohol. Let's sex and drugs and rock and roll. Let's turn to religion as a crutch. Let's turn to good causes or bad causes, but any causes to get our mind off the subject. We turn to securities and discover that they're not very secure. The baby trusts mum and dad and grows up to learn by the time they're a teenager, mum and dad knows nothing. Little children are always sucking their thumbs or clinging to their comfort blankets or their toys. They have their hero worship. But they all get outgrown. Adults turn to possessions, material things, to money in the bank, and it fails. People turn to people, and they're often let down. Is there an ultimate security behind all the cheaper ones? Wherein lies ultimate security? Well, there's only one answer, and it's God. Friendship with God. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's the only one who's constant. A friend who never fails. That hymn that we were singing a minute ago was written by George Matheson. He wrote it on the eve of his sister's wedding because it reminded him of the time in his own life when he said to his girlfriend, they were engaged to get married, He said, "The doctor says I'm going to turn blind eventually. Will you still marry me if I become blind?" And she said, "No way. I don't want to be married to an invalid." So he penned the words on the eve of his sister's wedding about the love that never lets go. St. Paul wrote the words that we read also, and he wrote this from experience. "Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? I'm certain that nothing can separate us from his love. Neither death nor life, angels or superhuman powers, nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And he wrote that from prisons and preaching all around the world, from all this rough and tumble of life. It's not said lightly when we sing it simply, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe in his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest." And we don't just mean pie in the sky when we die. We mean right now. Peter could say, "I've walked on water with Jesus, in the storm." Rupert Brooke, the First World War poet, put it in his terms. "War knows no power. Safe shall be my going. Secretly armed against all death's endeavor. Safe, though all safety's lost. Safe where men fall. And if these poor limbs die, safest of all." In other words, with Jesus in my boat, I can smile at the storm. I can be a soldier in the trenches and still have peace. We can, as Paul says, overcome the world, be more than conquerors. The proof of that is only one way, in experience. But as you look back over your life, has that not been your experience? Have you not been through the lion's den, the fiery furnace, the valley of grief? Has he not been your good shepherd, your best friend, strength beyond your own strength? Augustine, the playboy who became the theologian, way back in year 800 time, he said, "I tried everything, but I only ever found my rest in God. I had many insecurities, but I only found my security in God." Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord, we live in a materialistic age, so people think they will put their money in the bank for security. We put our money on the communion table because we want it to work for you. And we want our whole lives to be laid before you, to work for you too. Amen. Let's sing from the Red Book, number 78, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, 78. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can say, along with St. Augustine, our lives were insecure and restless until we found our security and our rest in you. For you are indeed our good shepherd, our best friend, our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. You help us to bear our burdens, to face our responsibilities, to cope with the strains and stresses of daily life, and much more. You help us to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. You guide us to make right decisions, to walk the straight and narrow path, to keep right on to the end of the road, to fight the good fight, to run the race and keep the faith. You enable us to conquer temptations, to tame passions and master desires. You help us guard our thoughts, discipline our speech, control our behavior. Lord, great is your faithfulness to us. Help us to remain ever faithful to you, and use us to reach out to all who are insecure around us. Help us to share with them the good news of the super Savior who works so quietly and secretly in us and in all the world. So hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Morag Conway, Peggy Gilfillan, and Robert Howie, and Ruth Cowan. We pray for Dora and Bobby Scott, for the Reverend Dr. John King and his wife Judy, for Betty McCubbin and Beth McCracken. We pray for your comfort and peace for all who are going through the valley of grief. And we pray for your blessing on our world today. We give thanks that disaster was averted at the Whaley Bridge Dam. We pray for America after 250 mass shootings. We pray for Kashmir, India, and Pakistan. We pray for the people in Hong Kong. We pray for the people in Syria, especially in Idlib province where the battle rages, and the people in Yemen. And we pray for the whole world as we wrestle with global warming causing severe weather conditions. We pray for our own country with the Brexit stalemate, and for America and China with its trade war. We pray for Russia, where many protesters were arrested yesterday. They had the most street protesters in a decade. Lord, may the restless and insecure world find its rest in you. We pray for your church as well. As a presbytery, we pray for Stevenston High Kirk and the Reverend Scott Cameron, and we pray for all your people in all the different situations. Work in us and work through us, for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is 412 in the Red Book, Will Your Anchor Hold? 412.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore.